Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast, conducted in cooperation with Marketing Props. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, and today I'm speaking with Brent Arslaner, VP of Marketing for Unisphere, a virtual events company. So, Brent, I've been hearing a lot about virtual events and virtual trade shows. Now, can you tell us more about what they are and when you might want to use a virtual event versus maybe a physical event?
Yeah, sure, Paul. Basically, you know, a virtual event is very similar to any physical event that you've ever attended. It includes a main hall. It includes a conference hall that supports multiple session conference tracks with a exhibition floor and exhibition booths, a resource center, networking lounge. The difference is it's all virtual. There's a place on the internet that you go to and can actually be able to feel all of the aspects of a physical event. And in terms of the types of events that we often run, there's kind of two different camps. One is we'll do a completely virtual event, or we'll oftentimes even augment a physical event. And the types of events we do are typically for enterprises. They're demand generation based. So if there's educational seminars, or if it's user conferences, product launches, even virtualizing roadshows are common use cases for our solutions.
Nice, very nice. So is there an ideal size? I mean, it sounds like you can probably scale it up really big, right? How small could you scale it down to?
Sure. Just to give you an example, in fact, last week we did an event, a two-day event, that was about 15,000 attendees over a two-day period. So we can scale just about as large as you need to get to.
Okay.
On the low end, I'd say that typically a few hundred would be probably the low end of the bar. If you think about the audience when you're putting together maybe a webinar, if it's applicable, we can create a much more interactive version of a webinar. So if you have a few hundred folks that you want to share some topical issues or best practices, a virtual event can be a good solution.
Hmm. So just building on that virtual webinar for a second, so it sounds like it's a much more robust version of that, where you could have a, let's say, a resource center with, you know, related items, be it thought leadership, be it podcasts, be it case studies. You could have other related events that had taken place, like a web event that had taken place that you could replay. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it really, I think, is a natural progression. You know, when I think of a webinar, it's much like a lecture at a university where one person talks to a crowd and maybe the most interactivity they get is they can ask a question. We have very interactive environments where you can go in and chat with someone in a booth. You can go into a lounge and talk to other attendees in a forum or a moderated chat, or again, you could interact with the sponsors. But it's really the next extension that allows you to leverage the rich multimedia that you've created, is much more robust in terms of professional networking and in an engaging 3D environment.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the buzz I hear about virtual events is that they get very good attendance. I mean, the numbers that you were quoting, 15,000 people, you know, did not blow my mind. I mean, I'm hearing numbers like that. And the download rates on, you know, some of the thought leadership and stuff is outstanding. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, we recently worked with FactPoint, which is a market research company based here in Silicon Valley, and we've now done over 375 events, and we had them take a look at a sample size of over 200 of our events. And some of the statistics are very interesting. I mean, we find that on average, you know, registration is around 3,100. Attendance for a live event is around 1,600. There's a nice mix between U.S. and international attendance. So on average, U.S. attendance is around 60%, and international is around 40%. And from a download perspective, you know, on average, people are downloading at least 5 files. And another really important statistic is people on average will spend about 2.5 hours within one of our virtual events, which tells you, how compelling these solutions can be. And probably the most important aspect is that everything that occurs as a fellow marketer, everything that occurs within that environment is tracked to create a very robust profile that can be used for lead qualification and ranking.
So it almost has a lead nurturing aspect to it. You can see what they were interested in and what really was important to them.
That's absolutely right.
Definitely. Have you been able to glean any ROIs from some of your customers?
Yeah, I mean, we've done quite a few analysis, and some of the most recent, we did an event for National Instruments, a large publicly traded company out of Austin, Texas, and what they worked with us on was the virtualization of, they did an 18-city road tour that was physical throughout North America, and they asked us to replace it with a single virtual event. And there was a couple of statistics, I think, that were most telling. One was that the attendance of our single virtual event exceeded the total attendance of their 18-city road tour. So people were engaged. They wanted to attend. I mean, some of the ROI is it's convenience, it's productivity. You know, there's a lot of people that can't afford to leave the office for long periods of time. But the most telling tale was beyond the overall attendance was the cost basis was less than 50% of the cost. And in fact, they equated that the cost of our solution was less than the logistics cost to ship their large instrumentation boxes from city to city to city.
Oh, wow.
And probably the most compelling statistic was that 7.1% of the leads that they generated within 45 days went from lead to quote within their pipeline. So the point being is that there's real business going on here, and they even mentioned it in their Q3 earnings call as a contributing factor to the growth of their pipeline.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, so sum it up for my listeners. What should marketers be doing next year about virtual events?
Yeah, I think as we are here pre-Thanksgiving and we're all beginning to plan our 2008 budgets, you know, you really need to first ask yourself, you know, as you look at all of the different physical events that you're doing, do they all need to be in person? Everyone does product launches and user conferences and different types of educational seminars. I ask that you should investigate. You should take a look at, you know, identifying one of the events that you want to maximize reach. You want to reach a larger audience, or you want to be more consistently be able to nurture existing opportunities, or you just need to educate existing clients, but yet you don't necessarily, you know, want to spend the money to all, you know, rent a room in a Marriott. That give virtual events a look, and I think you'll be happily pleased.
Very cool. Well, thanks again for your time, Brent. And for our listeners, now it's your turn. Leave us a comment on the corresponding blog that's hosting this particular podcast on your views or your experiences with virtual events. We'd be very interested to hear that. And we'll be back next week with another ProfCast, so don't miss it. Thanks very much.